The reading this morning will be taken from Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am done, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me."
I made it. You didn't think I was going to make it. I've only lived at the same house for 42 years or 43, something like that, right? How many? 41, close enough. And I have went out the back door every day for the past 41 plus years. Last Saturday, I decided to miss the step and caught the edge of the step and moved my ankle in ways that I've never seen it move before. Beth said she heard a pop. Don't know if that was the tree or my ankle, but it's getting there. But there was a little concern, and I did have a plan B if I couldn't get up here. Jared and Larry were on standby, and they're going to help me up here, but I was not going to be nice. Plus, Jeff Frampton is my insurance guy, and there's no way I was going to make a claim, so I had to face him here this morning, right? So here I am. But hey, thanks for being here, church family. Good to see everybody this morning. Hope that your intent is the same as mine, is I just want to go to heaven. And every time we come to church, that should be our goal. We talk an awful lot about it. We talk about it in different ways. I think you might find today's sermon maybe a little unique. I have a tendency to do that from time to time. But when Jared asked me if I wanted to be on the list, I said, "Only if you put me when we move the time back so everybody gets an extra hour of sleep." So you have absolutely no excuse not to stay awake, because I'm going to need you today. I don't do this a lot. But I would really like for you to be engaged with me. Or are you one of you, like me, woke up at 2 o'clock just to see if my automatic clocks moved to 3. Then I couldn't go back to sleep, so I'm still in that eight hours anyway. I didn't get an extra hour. Because we've had tendencies for our clock not to do what they were supposed to do. And then we have this fear factor that, oh, we're going to be late. Which, you know, we never are. But so anyway, glad to see everybody here this morning. You know, when I give a lesson, it's usually about something simple and a few little words, and that is no different today. That's what I do. That's how I am. But I've been working on this lesson since 2018. A long time. I remember Jay Buck saying, when he preached a couple times ago, he said, "Put 40 hours plus in." Jay, you ain't seen nothing. This is 2018 to 22. I'm not trying to outdo you, but it's one of those deals where, you know, when you don't preach a lot, you get this, and when you do, you want to come up with a theme. You know, you want something in your mind. What would be effective to talk about? Well, I found something, and I would think, well, I'm going to use it for an invitation. That's just not enough time. And, you know, we try to keep the invitations to a minimum, so I knew if I did use this, that I would be here all day, and then that wouldn't be any good. And then I had a chance to preach, and I pulled out all my notes, and I just wasn't feeling it. You know, I just wasn't hitting the nerve. I got to have this inner thing that says, yeah, that's kind of it. I feel good about it. Just couldn't get there. So when I see my name on the schedule to preach, I'm going to do it. Since 2018, I have been working on this lesson off and on for a long time. And I compiled notes. I had them everywhere. I had them in my phone. I had them in books. I tried to find them all. But anyway, I have compiled a lesson. So this almost looks like a tombstone. It's created in 2018 and is finished in 2022 this morning. Here it is, hot and cold. Well, don't act like you're surprised. I mean, isn't that exciting, hot and cold? We're going to talk about two words today that we use a lot or think about a lot. I don't know about you. I talked to the furnace man not too long ago, and he says the number one service call he gets to the home is because the temperature never seems to be right. And he said, Jan, you know what the problem is? It's usually never the furnace. A lot of people don't clean their filters. That's the problem. But husband and wife can never agree on the temperature. So when she's not looking, he turns it down. When he's not looking, the other one turns it up. And they don't know that each other's fighting against each other, and the house can never figure it out. On the cold side, I don't know how many of you ever watched The Christmas Story. How could you not? It's on three different stations 24 hours straight, right? And I've seen bits and pieces of it for 63 years, but I think I've pieced most of it together. But there's one piece in this that the producers tried to do, and it's always for cause and effect. Two things they tried to accomplish. You remember when the little boy goes outside, and I believe it's in South Bend. I don't know if I even get the story right, but it's super cold, right? And the little boy goes out, and they double dog dare him to do what? Stick his tongue on the pole. Now, I was going to have a slide up here this morning to show that, but I knew sure if I did that, somebody's child would go home in the winter and try this out, and you all would be calling me, thanks a lot. So I didn't put it up there because I don't want anybody knowing what to do here. But I will tell you, if you're older, you probably know this anyway, that they dared some young little boy to stick his tongue on the pole because they knew good and well what the outcome was going to be. So he did it. He took the dare and did it, right? And the producers, I'm into TV and radio, so I like to know why people do things. They did it for two reasons. Obviously, the laugh. There's always something good for a laugh, and there's a lot of cute little laughs in that. But they wanted to emphasize how cold it was that day, because that will not work unless it is super-duper cold. So they were trying to get across to you two different things. So I want to spend a little time this morning on the topic of hot and cold. And I'm going to, if you allow me here, a couple slides, and then we have tons of scripture, and we'll get into our lesson. But I need you to connect with me. Now, it's easy to just put a couple words up here and thermostats up here. You know, okay, fine, hot, hot, cold. Been there, done it, right? No. I want you to connect with me this morning. I have a responsibility to put together something, hopefully, that will invite you to think about your spiritual life, but I can't do that if you don't connect with what I'm saying. So there's a responsibility for both of us this morning. So when I think about hot, and I want you, this is my last slide, before we get into the lesson, you know I like food. Don't look at me like you think that's a revelation. I love to cook. And if you cook steaks, if you're going to be with me, I get my grill screaming hot when I cook a steak. Now, I don't cook very many steaks anymore. They're way too expensive. But when I used to cook steaks, I would get my grill just glowing red. Because I like that char on my steak, about medium, medium well. If that doesn't appeal to you, leave it on longer, and you get it at whatever temperature you want. But when I think of hot, I think of my grill. I look at it, and it's just scorching red. On the other hand, I like things cold. I really do. I'm a cold freak. I'm a nerd, actually, when it comes to cold. I do things that no other humans do. And all my granddaughters know exactly what that is. Twinkies. I do not like unfrozen Twinkies. That is an actual picture of my freezer and my stock load of Twinkies. I love things that are cold. I put Reese cups in there. I didn't want to show you everything in my freezer, but I'd be embarrassed. I have Reese cups. I have grapes. I like frozen fruit. I like a lot of things, but I like Twinkies, right? And the girls have all tried them, and they've acknowledged that I am crazy, and they like them. All right, there's your slides. Are you locked in now on my two words? Cold, hot, we all know where we're going here. A few years back, and there's your date, 2018, I was doing some subcontractor work, and I got asked if I would help a company out, bring their product over to the United States. I had zero idea what I was getting myself into. I just said yes, just thinking, oh, I've done this in my sleep. I can do this. Little did I know the company was located in Taiwan. I did, after a while. 12 hours difference between here and there. So when I'd have a meeting at 4 o'clock p.m. their time, I had to get up at 4 a.m. in my time. I didn't like that at all. And they then all of a sudden insisted, listen, we want you to come to Taiwan to meet everybody. I go, no, I ain't doing that. That ain't happening. I'm not a traveler. I know Sharon's a traveler. Jeremy's a traveler. I think Seth told me he went to Africa. There may be some others of you have did that type of thing. That ain't for me. Hours and hours. And exact, I've even put the times in there, not to be bragging, but the fact I did it. I didn't think in my wildest dreams. 5 hours from India to San Francisco, 13 hours to Taiwan. Didn't think I'd ever do it. It wasn't as bad as I thought, except for the fact everybody in my road, nobody spoke English. And the stewardess didn't speak English. That made for a long trip. Except the stewardess finally figured out I had a universal language. So anyway, I went to Taiwan, and I'm not here to talk about the trip. Promise you, I'm getting there. But Taiwan, there's an old Taiwan, new Taiwan. New Taiwan looks just like Indianapolis. Old Taiwan is old. It's an old city. Super nice people. Just the nicest of people. Couldn't be any nicer. But they have a problem with their menu. It's bland. They eat cold fish. They drink tea. I lost 10 pounds in 2 weeks in Taiwan. But it wasn't all this that got my attention. Are you ready for it? Here's what got my attention that Taiwan did. The water. The water. Of all things, I spent 18 hours to get to. The one thing that got my attention was the water. You know why? They drink lukewarm water. So the first restaurant I go to, they bring out the water just like this, and they pour it. I paid zero attention until I began to drink it. All of a sudden, my stomach started curling. I go, what in the world? You give me hot water. And they sent a translator with me, which was probably a good thing. I go, what is this? What this is hot water. They brought me hot water. And little did I know, the Taiwan people believe that you should never drink things that are hotter or colder than the body. Now, they could be dead right. They look like they're going to live a whole lot longer than I am. But that's what they do. And there's probably some merit to that. You can't find a Diet Coke anywhere. So for 2 weeks, warm, lukewarm water. And all of a sudden, the word lukewarm resonated in my head. I spent 2 weeks thinking about the word lukewarm. Now, I've preached about lukewarm a few times. Brother Brooks had an excellent class the other night, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to revisit this verse real quickly. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea writes, these things say the Amen and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Those are two words. I could wish that you were cold nor hot or hot. So then because you are, there's that word. I'll never ever forget it out of my head. Lukewarm. And neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. See, we take for granted every time we go to the faucet or to the bathroom, wherever we might be outside, that every time we turn on the water, we're going to get water. It's just, that's what's supposed to happen, right? So we really don't give a lot of thought to water. Well, that's not the case in this verse. In this verse, water was a problem, especially in Laodicea. To one of the cities nearby had hot springs. And it was used for the body. It was used to help them. They didn't have a lot of medicine. So a lot of times they would use these hot springs as something productive for their physical being. And on the other hand, there's a city on the other side, Colossae, that had cold water, running cold water, which is almost heard of in a lot of cities over there. And it was used for clean drinking water, cooking, a lot of things. But yet Laodicea, if you read and study about it, didn't have any of those things. It had what they call an aqueduct system. So their only way of getting water to the city of Laodicea was through these pipes. You see a little picture there. That's an actual picture of the aqueducts from Laodicea. That's how they got their water. Now, what's the problem? Some water's better than no water, right? I guess. Water was lukewarm the time it got to them. Sometimes it sat in the pipes for a long, long time. The writers of what I read said most of the time the water got there, it was very dirty. It smelled. It was laden with algae. You tell me. Some water better than others? Probably. But not compared to the cities on both sides of Laodicea. And now some people will want to argue, well, that's not the case. Well, you know, that's okay. I'm not going to argue about it. That's not what he means by hot and cold. But if that's the case, I'm not sure why he needs three words. Why does he need cold, hot, and lukewarm? If it's cold is bad, warm is good, why does he need lukewarm? So whichever case you're on, at the end of the day, lukewarm's still right in the middle. So one way or the other, however you think. But these are facts, so it makes a whole lot of sense in the way in which it's described. So what he's saying here, he's not saying cold water is bad. He's not saying warm water is good. He's saying there's value in cold water and there's value in warm water, but there is very little value in lukewarm water. And see, like I said, because water is just something that's everyday to us, we don't give it a second thought. Water was a big, big deal to them. So the fact that he uses, and he knew that, so the fact that he uses the analogy of water really hit home to them. And I love the way the Lord teaches us. In parables, you go through the different parables, and I just learned so much when he describes, because he's like a great announcer. The great announcers on radio can make you shut your eyes, and you can just see what they're describing in your eyes. And that's how Jesus does in the parables. And that's how he does when he describes things. He paints a picture that you have to understand. How could you not understand that? That there was value in the hot springs. There was value in the running water. But Laodicea, where you're at, the warm, ugly, dirt water, no value. Now, I've said just about all I want to say about the church of Laodicea because I have a phobia about this. I really do. With all my heart, I'm scared to death of becoming lukewarm as a person. And with every fiber of my body, I'm not going to be lukewarm. I'm not saying don't make mistakes, because I do. I'm asking this morning, are you willing to fight against lukewarm? Because if you are, that's what I'm really here today. I don't like negative lessons. I know we have to have them. They're part of what we have to do. But I'm really not going to talk much more about lukewarm. Here's what I am going to talk about. Five preventive measures against turning lukewarm. If you turn over on your Fisher's Family Report, there's room for five things in the lesson's yours. Super simple, super easy. But I want you to pay a lot of attention to these five things. I want to ask you this morning, where's your treasure? What's the most important thing for you? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pretty easy verse, pretty short verse. Basically ask us as Christians, what's your priority? Where do we lay up our treasures? Is it here? Is it here? I don't start harping on people for having things. I don't harp on people having money. The Lord tells us all that's good. He's just saying, where's our priority? Where did you put your heart? Is your treasure making it to heaven? Now we're talking. Now we're getting somewhere with the lesson. Is your treasure making it to heaven? And if it's not, then you need to worry about lukewarm. But I'm not worried about lukewarm because I know the members of this church want to go to heaven. I know that with all my heart. Or are your treasures on this earth? Please check mark A. If you haven't got your check mark by A this morning, let's get it fixed. Because if your check mark is not by your treasure in heaven, You had a problem, but I know you put your check mark by A. I just know you did because I know you want to do that. I know you want to go to heaven as bad as I do. Why would we go through all this? Why at times is it hard? Why at times are we challenged if we don't really want to go to heaven? Because it'd be a whole lot easier to go, I'm not going to mess with this. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So you can say, I want to go to heaven, but what's the Bible tells us? We're going to know Jan Bossier. We're going to know you. He's going to know us. We're going to know each other by what? Our fruits. By our fruits. Number two. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, why would I do that? Well, pretty obvious. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added to you. The Lord makes it pretty clear to us. He's going to make sure we have the things we need, not necessarily the things we want, but he's going to provide for us. Well, we talk over and over, he knows how many hairs are on our head. That's not a challenge for me, but it is for you. And he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly who you are. And he's going to provide for us. Now, if you don't believe that, you've got lukewarm tendencies. I don't believe you believe that for a second. I believe with all my heart that you believe that Jesus will take care of you, or you wouldn't be here this morning. Christ warns against money and possessions being priority. Listen, if that's your priority this morning, you've got to fix it. Maybe you made some bad choices, bad mistakes. Listen, God doesn't care. He says, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. Make it right. Jesus says believers should fight against worrying. We don't do any of that, do we? About our daily needs. I will provide. That's number two. You with me? Number three. 100% committed. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. You know, we want things in our time, right? We want something. We pray about it. What's our expectation? Now, the Lord don't work that way. Lord, prayer is always answered by the righteous that pray. But he says, yes. He says no, he says maybe, and you may have to wait, but he will answer your prayer. But he says, trust also in him. Be steadfast. Never give up. Never give up. That's three. Two more. Got a question first. Forgot about this. You know, we harp on attendance, and rightfully so. How can you possibly get better if you're not here? Maybe you can, but I doubt it. I got a question for you, though. If you had the same attendance percentage at work that you have at church, would you still be employed? Now, I want to believe that answer is yes. And if it's not yes, we've got some work to do. We've got to fix something today. Your attendance should be as good or better than what you provide your employer. Fair? Don't we owe that to the Lord who gave it all to us? Don't we owe him commitment? Do you give because you want to, or do you give because you have to? I'm not going to read the whole story, but you know the story of the widow with the two mites. Jesus says in here, we had some that were pretty rich and they give not because of what they should, but because they just gave. While it was a lot of money. No. No. Jesus said no. Look at this lady right here. Two mites. Basically shy of worthless. God says, I want her. I want her because her heart is what I'm looking at. Does God really need money when it's all said and done? No. But he does know that we need to provide for a preacher, for facilities, and nothing's getting cheaper. He understands all that. How do we give this morning? Do we give because we're committed or just because it's the thing to do? Where's your check mark at? If it's not where it needs to be, let's get it fixed. Hey, pig. Not me. We should open a restaurant. I'm not sure what we should call it. You with me? Ham and eggs. I love breakfast. No thanks. I'd be committed and you'd only be involved. How could you not think about Seth's chickens in this story? Now, this has been around for one of my favorite analogies ever, but a good story never gets old. The chicken goes, I want to be involved. I provide you eggs. And the pig goes, come on, that's nothing. I'm going to provide you ham. You get it, don't you? You get it? Yes? I can't explain it if you don't. It's the best I got. Pig is what? Committed. Are you committed? Are you committed to this work? Are you committed with your financial funds? Are you committed with your prayer? Are you committed with your involvement? Just a little story there to help us remind us the difference between being involved and being committed. Number four. You up with me? Read and pray. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can you do that if you don't read? Now, I'm going to be the first to admit, I had to repent with that one because I don't like to read much. I really don't. And I like pictures. But I felt guilty, and I give my son credit because when he helped put out the monthly reading schedule, I don't worry about now. He calls me every day. He said, Dad, did you read your scripture? Man, I don't dare say no, or I get 10 more calls. If you are not as involved with reading your Bible, and if you are, don't worry about it, but if you're not like me, get one of those schedules and get in a routine. It's on my phone. Jared calls me. I can't help but to read my scripture daily, and I do. And I should have been doing it a long time ago. I'm sad to admit that. I don't like to read that much, but how can I rightly divide God's word if I'm not reading? Confess your trespass to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The affectant fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Here's the question for you this morning. If you do very little reading or prayer, what's your expectation? If you don't read, you don't study, how good a Bible student are you going to be? If you don't pray, what's your expectation from the Lord? This is us. Fisher's Church, the team. We got work to do. We understand. We want to do better. Number five. Lord, send me. We go back to our scripture reading this morning. And what this means is our attitude. Well, call this guy, he'll do it. Well, call this guy, he'll do it. I need some help spiritually. Will you do it? No, let's get this guy. Let's get that guy. Somebody else will do it. No, that's not what Seth read to us this morning. He said, who should do this? Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Are you a soldier for the Lord this morning? Are you willing to carry that banner? Five things. Where's your treasure? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. 100% committed. Read and pray. Lord, send me. Do we have to settle for lukewarm? Why would we settle for lukewarm? You don't have to. I got a quick story in the Lessengers. Many of us older people can remember the Chernobyl disaster. It was a nuclear accident that occurred on 26 April 1986 at the number 4 reactor, Chernobyl nuclear power plant north of Ukraine in the Soviet Union somewhere. The disaster released more than 400 times more radiation into the atmosphere than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. We could all remember pictures of that. It contaminated millions of acres of surrounding land. Few people realize that the scale of destruction could have been far worse if it weren't for the bravery of 3 volunteers. And on May 4th, 1986, just a few days after the initial disaster, these 3 men, I don't speak Russian, you can see their names, Michael, or the mechanical engineer, the senior engineer, and the shift supervisor, would they step forward? These were the 3 guys that knew what to do to stop this from being even a bigger disaster than it already was. On the day of the disaster, in an effort to control the blazing fire, firefighters pumped water into the nuclear reactor. One of the side effects was it flooded the basement where the valves were at. This basement contained the valves that, when turned, would drain the pools of disaster that sat beneath the reactor, which acted as a coolant for the plant. The pools containing some 20 million liters of water had to be drained, and the only way to do that was by manually turning the correct valves down in the now flooded basement. Would any volunteers go? 3 courageous men were not successful. If they weren't successful in this mission, Chernobyl death toll would likely reach millions. This thing explodes. It's going to really, really destroy mankind. Declared the blast would have had force of 3 to 5 megatons, leaving much of Europe uninhabited for hundreds of thousands of years. Now, there's the challenge. 3 men. Somebody's got to go. So they all 3, there was only 3. They were brought into the room. They were told to sit down. The story we just read was explained to them. They kind of knew. Who wants to go? Going to take a volunteer. You don't have to do it, but if you don't, here's the problem. So the 3 men sat there. Tears come down their eyes. They knew this was a suicide mission. If they went, they would surely be contaminated. They didn't think they'd get anyone to say yes. So they start down at the mechanical engineer, "Will you go?" Stood up, said, "Send me." The guy was amazed. The other 2 looked at him. He asked the next one, "Will you go?" He stood up and said, "Send me." True story. Number 3 looks at him and goes, "Stood up. Send me. Send me." The guy asked him, couldn't believe that he found 3 men that would volunteer basically to give their life to save millions. And he goes, why would you do it? Why would you guys do that? They said, "It's the right thing to do." That's our lesson this morning. 5 things to keep us from being lukewarm. Have you been baptized? I want you to think about these 5 things if you've not. We come here for one reason, and that's to save sinners. Talking about the right temperature, this baptistry is the right temperature. Checked it this morning. So if you want to be baptized, we got the right temperature for you. Listen, if you've fallen away, the shame is not repenting of that and getting back right with God. Be these 5 things and you don't have to worry about your direction. There are others, but these 5 are awful important, right? Jesus knew for a long time that he was going to die on the cross. He knew. He told his disciples, "The day's coming." But yet he said, "God, send me." Do you have that attitude this morning? Send me. It's the right thing to do. Will you come forward together as we stand and sing?